Next up, the interview with Tracy Marshall, who is Chief Operations Officer for Mind in Mid-Hearts. Just help us first by reminding us what Mind actually is.
Mind is a charity that has been around for a long, long time to support people who are suffering from mental health problems, struggling with life, also to support carers and friends and family of those who are. But also we do preventative work. So sometimes people are affected by life events. They may lose their job or they may be divorced. And we do life skills courses. So we teach people how to manage anxieties, anger.
In order to do this, you must be working with a lot of other organisations then. You can't be going out into the whole community on your own.
We do work on our own. We do provide a lot of the services on our own. The services that we provide at St Albans are not in partnership with anybody. We have funding from the community wellbeing team to provide that. But because we're a charity, we don't have a great deal of money. So if we want to build and we want to extend what we're doing, we have to look at other ways of doing that. And the best way of doing that is working smart and recognising that you can't do it all on your own. So there are lots of other local charities, local organisations such as Youth Talk, Youth Connections, various different counselling organisations, YMCA.
So are you personally involved in making links with these organisations?
Yes, part of my role is to make the partnerships. We work quite closely with Viewpoint, which is an organisation that, again, takes people's points of view further. So we help people with their mental health and getting back on track with that. So we can't really take things to government. That's not our role. So you've got organisations such as Power and Viewpoint and National Mind that can do that. So we work quite closely together. And the idea is that together we can provide more because there is such expertise across the board. People often think that charities are run by people who have nothing better to do with their time and do-gooders, we're often referred to. But actually, we are a professional organisation. We have a lot of professional people working in the team and we do rely on volunteers to help us provide the services that we do.
Okay, at the professional level, what sort of skills do you have? Mental health trained personnel?
Yes, I myself, in another life, I was a psychiatric nurse. Chief executive, she is a counsellor. We have lots of counsellors on board. We have lots of people with degrees and masters in psychology, occupational therapists. A lot of people, they've had another role before they've joined us.
Yes, and they are employed.
They are employed. So I think we have all in all about 33 employed staff, 9 of whom are full-time, the rest are part-time. And at the moment, I think we have around 60 volunteers.
If we talk about mental health, it's perhaps not always absolutely clear what we're talking about.
It's really about people's, you know, you've got your physical well-being. So if you've got a broken arm or if you've got a chest infection, you'll go to the doctors, you'll get antibiotics. If your arm is broke, you get that mended. And it's about people's emotional well-being. Sometimes for people, it's the way that they think about things. Some people can see things in a very negative way, which has then a negative impact on their well-being. So it's about providing people with the skills and the strategies to change the way that they think and to put a different perspective on things. Quite often people think mental health is people with schizophrenia and bipolar. And yes, that is an element of mental health, but mental health doesn't have to be a diagnosed condition. There are people that are affected, as I said, by life events. So they could get a divorce, or lots of people recently have become unwell because they've been made redundant. And they didn't expect that. And obviously, when that happens, you have to change your lifestyle to suit that. And for some people, that's very difficult. It affects your self-esteem, it affects your confidence, and if you don't deal with that, the lack of confidence then becomes anxiety. People sometimes get to the point where they feel like they can't go out because they feel so ashamed, they don't want people to see them because that person down the road might know that I've lost my job or that my wife has left me.
It becomes a spiral.
It spirals. So it's really important that people understand that there is support out there, that we do offer counselling, we do offer all sorts of services, which I'll go into.
Talk about some of the services now. First of all, you presumably train people as counsellors. I mean, volunteers could become...
All of our counsellors are volunteers, but they are qualified and they give us a certain amount of hours
they've been through a training process.
Yes, they're accredited. Or if they're not, then they're on their final leg of their training where they need the experience. But they are supervised and they are professional.
If I think I've got a mental health problem, I would presumably go to my GP because I wouldn't know what it was I had.
Yes, you could do. And there are some GPs are brilliant and they will be able to signpost you to either Mind or to the Wellbeing Service, which is commissioned. The Wellbeing Service is part of the NHS. So you can get referred and you can get short-term 6-week counselling sessions to help, which usually helps people that have had a life experience.
Because they don't need to be sent to Australia to some highfalutin consultant.
Not necessarily. They just need some input to get them back on the right track, which is really important, because if you miss that opportunity, it's when you start going downhill, and that could be when somebody does end up with the GP making a referral to the community mental health team or something.
Sounds like it's a fairly widespread problem in society. It's not just a few of us that might have this mental health problem.
The statistics are 1 in 4, and actually, mental health is not prejudiced. It doesn't care if you're a university lecturer or if you're a street cleaner. There is no job or no life that you can lead that would exclude you from the
possibility. Are there things in our growth pattern from our youth which will influence the way in which we handle crises?
Oh, definitely. That's why it's really important to connect with the young people. Absolutely. I mean, some young people are, you know, it might be that their parents have had difficulties, but they've perhaps never sought a resolution or support for that. So they follow those behaviours. For some young people, they get into drugs and alcohol. That has an effect on your mental health.
That's a physiological effect which can make...
Yes. I mean, some people are able to smoke weed and it has no effect on them. Other people can smoke it 1 or 2 times and it can make them really unwell. So you don't know how that's going to affect you. That's not to say that all young people do take drugs and drink. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think, yes, if you have, for instance, people that are born into a family where one of the parents is alcoholic and there's domestic abuse, perhaps, then obviously that they may not realise it, but that will impact the way. So there's a good likelihood that they might grow up and they might decide that, well, they're going to drink because that's the way.
And that's why Mind is working with a number of organisations which are involved with young people. What about schools? What happens in schools?
Yes, we do get asked to go into schools and give talks on mental health awareness. And that's what we're working on very much at the moment, is the partnerships with Youth Talk and Youth Connections and One Life, who are part of St Albans District Council. We're looking at hoping to get some funding together so that, because we've all got different skills. So Youth Connections very much know how to deal with young people. That's their Youth Talk offer counselling to young people. We take people from 16 upwards. That doesn't mean to say that we can't go into schools and talk to people that are younger, but our age range is from 16 up. So the idea is that, you know, all of our skills together, it's silly to give funding bids a couple of thousand here and a couple of thousand there when you've got people trying to do a similar sort of thing. So for instance, if we had a consortium, if there was an issue with self-harm, Mind would be the best people, I think, to go in and deliver a session on coping strategies for young people thinking about self-harming. One Life have drug and alcohol training, so they would deliver that. Youth Talk, you can signpost young people. And the idea is getting young people why are we waiting for people to get unwell and to be affected by society and by the pressures of life?
Does anybody go into schools with young children? Does anybody help young children to understand the issues that we're dealing with here?
Yes, I think in secondary schools, some secondary schools do have pastor care, like a pastor care. So some schools do have a counsellor, but others don't because it's a funding situation. So they may choose to spend that money on, they might need another maths teacher. You know, it's all to do with cuts, isn't it? Yes, so different organisations do go in, and I just think it's important that we're not all repeating the same thing. If we work together, we can work to our strengths and we can deliver more information, more in-depth information, rather than just kind of touching
the
surface.
And this is not just, I mean, when we're talking about school children here, whatever, you only deal with 16-year-olds upwards, but whatever the age of a child, you wouldn't be only concerned about the grappling with their problems, but informing them about the issue of mental health, the issues of mental health.
Yeah, we will go into secondary schools and we will talk to people that are 11 years old if that's what's needed. We just can't see them at our centre. Right. So that's why we work with organisations like Youth Talk. But it is about saying to them, these are the signs and symptoms when people become unwell, and encouraging them, you know, if you do recognise this in one of your friends, if you do start to see people are picking at their skin, perhaps they're doing things, they're showing signs of anxiety, it's teaching them that it's okay to ask them what's going on, what's happening. And if they're aware of where people can go, then they'll share that information. So it's really education.
Okay.
Education and support, tackling the stigma. Do you remember the Maureen Lipman used to do adverts for BT, and she'd say it's good to talk? Well, it is, and it always takes me back to that, because I think over the years, for whatever reason, it's become a bit of a taboo subject.
That's right.
And people, as I said...
Well, if you go back 100 years, it was horrendous, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You would certainly, you know... If
moved
you,
on.
It certainly moved on. But there's still a long way to go.
The problem for all of us in society is that we don't seem to have enough money to do everything that we want to do. And we know that the government is proposing a shift of £1 billion from physical health services to mental health. I doubt if that is anywhere near as much as is needed, but we have... A limited fund. Do you think that will begin to tip the balance? I mean, if say 100 years ago it was horrendous misunderstanding of mental health completely, but it's got much better. We still are quite ignorant, and you're very keen to talk with young people because that's one of the ways in which...
Yeah, I think that's one of the ways you can change that. It is changing. We see a change all the time. We do see more people getting support from their families and friends, more people feeling able to say... I don't know why I'm feeling like this, but I just don't want to get out of bed. I can't tell you why. People are talking about it more, and people are accepting it more. But it's an ongoing situation, and I think, yes, there's not enough money, and yes, there needs to be a lot more, but it is improving. You can't throw money at things and expect things to be okay, because it doesn't work like that. You've got to have the education, and you've got to have the services out there to provide. So it's no use going out there making the whole of society aware that there are these services. If you decided, do you know what, I need to get myself some help. What a big step that is. And then you suddenly go along to an organisation that can support you, and they can't support you because they don't have the funding to meet your needs. So you can't do it that quickly. It's got to be done bit by bit.
Over time. And part of the process is that society itself has to come to understand much more about mental health. And we do understand much more about it now than we used to.
Yeah.
We know there are things like talking therapy, which is a non-aggressive sounding tone. It really feels like a good idea. Is that part? You come across that? I mean, you talked about
Well,
that.
Well, yes. So we have... we provide counselling services, so talking therapies, as do the wellbeing service. So yes, we are there, we do provide it, but we do have a waiting list. We're working hard to...
If somebody came to you now wanting a particular... I mean, it's difficult to pin it down, but would this be 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 18 weeks, whatever?
Oh, no. If they came to St Albans, they'd probably have about a four-month wait. At the moment, the service is not free because somebody is funding it. So that's important to say, that nothing is ever free, and it is being funded, and we're extremely grateful for that. But we've got to look for other means of funding to top that up.
So it's free to the user.
It's free to the service user, but obviously, even though the volunteers are giving their time to do the counselling and that's free, they have to be supervised. It's a professional service. There's a lot of admin, so you need to employ people to do that. So nothing is ever free. And I think that's been one of the biggest problems, was that going back 3 or 4 years, particularly in St Albans, there was a day centre, and people with mental health issues could go to the day centre and they could spend the whole day there if they wanted, and they didn't have to pay for it. And it was part of the package provided through the community mental health team. But because of funding issues, that and the community support team was taken away. And it was very difficult for a lot of those people who have been using services for a long time to then realise that, well, I can't have this for free. If they come to a life skills course, it's 2 hours a week for 6 weeks, it's £20. Mm-hmm. But when you've been used to having that free... So it's also about people who have suffered in the past coming to terms with the fact the help is out there, but unfortunately it's not all fully funded anymore. So there are services that you will have to pay for, and the charges are kept to the minimum that they can be.
And do you, as a local mind organisation, do you fundraise yourself? Do you live on grants or?
Well, we do community fundraising as much as possible, but we don't have a designated person. So that's something else that falls under my hat. We do community fundraising. We do pay a company that helps us to go for big money so we can put big funding bids in. And we're forever. It's constant. It's a big part of our CEO's role. Is that she's out there trying to secure finances so that we can, because even if you do secure money for a year, you've still got to then, you can't sit back. You've still got to be then thinking, right, okay, I've got that for the year, but now where can I go to get that for another year?
And a lot of the grants are time limited.
A lot of them are time limited. A lot of grants are small grants. Yeah. But they are also very useful. We recently secured £5,000 on a grant from St Albans District Council to allow us to start a community garden project. Because obviously physical exercise, being out in the fresh air and everything, growing things, it's all proven to a healthy body is a healthy mind. So we've got some money for them to start that off, but which is absolutely brilliant.
Whereabouts
but
is that?
That's down Hixbury Lane. Just past Earthworks, and we've just employed somebody, so that'll be getting up and running very soon. However, I'm already now thinking, I don't want this to come to an end. I think sometimes there's this idea that people can have some talking therapy or they can have some support and then they'll get well and they'll never be seen again. And that is true for some people. But there are also some people in life that will need continued support. Some people are not going to manage to get back to work, perhaps in the foreseeable future. I don't mean forever, but they need something, some structure around their day. Otherwise, if you've got nothing to get up for, you're going to stay in bed. So if people have got some structured activities to come to, then at least it gets them out the house, it gets them socialising, helps tackle some of their anxieties. And there is support. If people come to Mind and Mid-Hearts, there is support there. So if somebody is having a bad day and they are finding things difficult, there is someone there that can listen to that. We don't have all the answers. We don't have a magic wand. But sometimes for people just to be heard is really important. So we do various groups. We do creative groups such as art, craft, creative writing and drama. And for a lot of people, there's been a lot of research, and for a lot of people with mental health, it's a really good way of expressing their inner thoughts and feelings that they may not be able to do, may not be able to verbalise. And then we do social groups. So we have peer support groups, we have a music group, we have a women's group. The only reason we don't have a men's group is because we haven't had a man to run it. So that's something that we're continuously looking for. Sometimes we can't always help ourselves. That's human nature, I think. But sometimes you can help other people. And by helping other people, it improves your confidence. It makes you feel better about yourself. A lot of our clients will come along and they'll talk about how has their week been. And we'll find that we can talk about many strategies that we've found that can overcome this. But more often than not, it'll be another person in the group that will say, well, I tried this and this really helped me. And they'll go away and they'll come back the next week. And the person that they gave that advice to has tried it and it's really helped them. And then that's made that person think, well, I am useful. I have got some good things to say. It is mainly people's self-esteem that just hits the floor, really. Everybody can contribute. A lot of people are made to feel unworthy if they're unable to do that, but they can do other things. You know, they can support others, they can volunteer. There's lots of other things they can do. So, as I said, not everybody is able to get back to work straight away. So,
Mind in Mid-Hearts is presumably part of the National Mind organisation.
Yes, we're affiliated. So you have National Mind, and then you have, I think there's over 300 in England and Wales, over 300 local minds. But each local mind is affiliated with National Mind and follows their guidelines and their procedures, and is actually has to be audited by National Mind to make sure that that's happening. But the difference is all local minds will do different things. And the reason for that is it very much depends on the funding that's available.
Tracy, we ran out of time.
Oh.
You're going to have to come back and tell us more, because we need to keep up with progress, because there's been a major report put out by Mind International recently,
absolutely,
which we want to see how things progress. So will you come back and talk to us again?
Oh, absolutely, anytime.
Tracy, just give us a contact point. If somebody wants to get hold of you, what do they do? How do they get to you?
They can contact us on 01727 865 070. But if anybody has a friend or a relative that they're really worried about, whether it be an adult or a child, there is a single point of access number that is part of the National Health where people can ring up and they can talk to a qualified professional who will make the decision about what sort of support that person will need. And that number is 0300 777 0707.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.